Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mystic Records Radio. I have a track here for you this morning. Lies.
I just can't play the part, Chris, and play the CR. Make you more important, I just got the number down. Riding, heads down in the sand, or if we score a laugh, but we fight another man. Take it away.
Okay, that was from Soto Street. And I have a couple announcements for you this morning. And by the way, thank you for tuning in to Mystic Records Radio. So glad that you're here. Public Nuisance is playing today. And they're going to be at 2449 Gate Street in Los Angeles. And they go on tonight with Los Creepers, Agenda 21, and the CABSs. Okay, so that'll be a good show. And, oh, I have a guest on the show today. And this is Jeff Soto from Soto Street Band. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, glad to have you on the show today. We just played your track, Lies. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the song? It's great. Love it.
The shit. the song Lies. It's definitely, if you listen to the words, if you can hear the words, they're it's basically conspiracy theories and how the government lies to you all the time.
Yes.
You know, it just goes with, you know, hand in hand. Like there's a 9/11 reference in there, and it says Uncle Scam plays the part, crashing planes into your heart, and makes you mourn for a tragedy that they caused themselves. So and then the verses are like, it's right in front of you, lies. And no matter what they do, they just pretty much steer you in the direction they want you to go in. It has nothing to do with, you know, people talk about Republicans and Democrats, and it's all the same shit. It's just, it's a two-party. They want you to pick one of them, but they want you to pick one of them anyways, because either both of them are in their pockets. So, you know, either way, they win and you lose. So
this
we
is
have
true.
Another
this is
two-party
great
system.
Song. Really, really great song. Love it.
And there's a line in there about oil. It says, heads down in the sand, oil bleeds through our land, but we fight another man and take it away. So we're fighting for oil that we fucking have in our own country, you know?
It's
just numerous shit that they do and the government does, and they just think you're all stupid.
Well, you know, we'd all be better off if we did like the Amish and rode our horses to town, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just live in the wilderness, grow ugly beards, and churn butter, man. That's what you should do.
There you go. Well, I kind of do that up here in Northern California anyway.
You have a beard?
No. But I do. I have churned butter before, and
I
do everything. Yeah, I do everything the old-fashioned way. I even make my own homemade pizza. It was good last night,
too. I
know.
You were telling me about that.
Yeah,
that's awesome, man. I used to manage a pizza place back in the day, but it wasn't as good as yours, I'm sure.
Oh, how sweet!
One,
I love it.
It was like corporate pizza, you know. Corporate like pizza. Round table corporate pizza, you know.
Well, you know, Round Table's got some pretty good pizza, you know, considering, you know, everything. But let's get back to Soto Street Band. I really like your band. You guys are really hot. You're kicking it out there. I mean, come on, opening for Leaving. Tell me what that was like. In Fear.
That was a dream come true. We got a our friend Eric Laura and his wife Krista. They booked a Bad Sam Presents, and they dropped
yeah,
us on
Eric.
That bill. Yeah, they dropped us on the bill, and I mean, it was like a dream come true for me. You know, we opened the show, but it was like we didn't care. You know, we were there, and it was place was banging. There was so many people there, and I actually got to play double duty that night. I got to sing a song. I got to do Sonic Reducer with this. This band PC101 that does
that's
they
cool.
do like basically covers old school cover songs, and they asked me to sing that. So I got fresh off the stage doing that song, Sonic Reducer, and then my friend texted me and said Lee's over at the merch table, and I went over there and I walked up to him and I saw him, and he was like larger than life, you know. I shook his hand, you know, and I was all starstruck. And
he's
I grabbed
such a
my
nice
phone.
Guy too.
He is. I pulled
yeah.
him close to me, and I told him, I said, you know, when I was a kid, I watched Saturday Night Live, and you guys were on there, and you blew my fucking mind. I said, you know, it was like I had hope, because, I mean, I felt pretty alone as a punk back then. You know, it wasn't so, like,
it wasn't popular to be punk.
No.
And
it was really nice to see one of us on television, and he's,
yeah.
like, in the nicest, like, voice. He's all, that was 1981. And he was just so, and he was just talking about it. He said that, you know, Belushi was a fan and got him on the show, and but it was really nice, and it was cool because, like, you know, the Laura's kind of told me his writer, and it was cute because he had like, he just asked for like juice and water and shit.
And Leaving is like so radical and so energetic. You know, you're a lot like him too, the way you're all over the stage, you know.
Oh, thank you.
And nobody would
think
that. Oh, go ahead.
I was blown away because he's a lot older now, and he doesn't create that like striking, like I'm going to kick your ass presence anymore. So
right.
he kind of walks up to the stage, and he's got his guitar on, and he's all quiet, and he gets up there, and everybody's just staring at him, and he's just like, I am living in the city, you know? And everybody just fucking loses their mind. The place just explodes, and I'm just like, fuck, you know? It's incredible. Yeah, it was a great experience, you know, and I'm forever in their debt for getting me on that show for sure.
Oh, well, you know, he used to come down to the Café de Grand when I booked the nightclub down there, and he used
mm-hmm.
to run sound a lot down there.
Oh, that's rad, man.
He's
phenomenal. Great guy, great, I mean, just total legend. He signed my, I have a, the Laura's always made like cool little posters for their gigs. And I grabbed one and Lee signed it for me, so that's hanging on my wall. Pretty
that's
stoked.
Cool.
I always have that. I always have that. If I stop doing this tomorrow, man, I always have that.
There you go.
Next
well,
up,
tell me more about
up,
how you got
Keith
into
Morris.
Punk rock and growing up as a kid.
Growing up as a kid, my parents actually, I mean, talk about like really crazy musical influences. My parents... My mom was like the biggest Elvis fan. I mean, she had like a scarf she took off his neck in Vegas, and she has all this memorabilia of, you know, the king. So I listened to a lot of Elvis. I listened to a lot of old school country, you know, driving in the car with my mom. And then my dad would play like Italian opera, like Mario Lanza. And he'd listen.
Oh, cool.
And he'd play the Animals, which just, they're fucking one of the best bands ever. So
I like the Animals. Yeah.
And then my older
Eric
brother,
Burton.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, dude. He's the shit. My oldest brother was listening to, like, all the hippie music. He was listening to, like, Bebop Deluxe and, you know, King Crimson and Brian Eno and all that, and Todd Rundgren. And so I was
good
listening
fans
to that. So
too.
So I had all these fucking wild influences. And then, of course, I really liked the pop music I saw on TV. And so my mom was buying me these, like, albums, like fucking Sean Cassidy for Christmas, you know? I had like this warped, like I listened to everything, man. It was kind of cool though. I mean, now I appreciate everything.
Good.
But growing up, I was, my mind was like in 50 different directions. But I grew up in Brea, California, and like I used to walk out my back gate, and I'd walk across this alley, and I'd walk through these apartments, and I'd go down on Birch Street, and I'd take it up and go wherever, you know, a kid goes, like in 1980, you know? And, I'm walking through there, and these kids were like disturbing these, like they were messing with these cactuses on this porch. All of a sudden this door flies open, and like this guy, like this crazy looking guy is like, "Hey, get the fuck off my porch. What do you keep fucking with my cactuses?" And like they ran by me. He's like, grab one. I grabbed one, and they're like, he's like, "Oh shit, man, you're cool." Then I let the kid go, you know? And he's like, "Come here." And he's like, "Check out my band, dude." And he brought me in his apartment. Of course, nowadays you'd be like, it's like red flag right now, you know?
Right,
shit. But back then, you know, it was no big deal. So I go in this guy's apartment, drum set, with a big Spider-Man on the bass drum, and he's playing me this music, and it was like punk, and it was like the most foreign music to my, I mean, I've never heard nothing like it. And the song, I think it was early on, it was Do the Eddie. So it was obviously, it was Casey Royer from the Adolescents.
Oh, my God.
Right,
isn't that
me.
So cool? Casey Royer, of all people to me, of the D.I.
I know. It was Casey Royer of the Adolescents back then. You know, so, I mean, you know, little did I know, you know, later on, like, you know, when Rick Agnew came by and, you know, and all the guys, Tony, and he had a couple of roommates, but the band called the Barbies, if you remember them, they lived, like, literally, like, two of the little complexes of this big apartment area down. So, like, you know, there was all these, you know, Curtis Howler from Confederate was around, and Steve and Blanks and all them. So, and I grew up in this area, so, like, all these guys were coming and, you know, hanging out at my house. My brother, I got my oldest brother into punk, so they started coming over, and they started, you know, having parties, and my mom was cool with it. My mom had all these like weird looking guys in the backyard partying, and everybody was cool and respectful. So I grew up and I didn't realize that, you know, taking that step in 1980 that it was going to be, you know, so frightening, because it was the summer of sixth grade going into seventh grade. So when I hit the junior high, when I hit Brand Junior High, there was nobody there that looked like me. And everybody was just staring at me like they wanted to kill me, you know? And, growing up was a lot different, you know, like it's not, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, the Mike Ness live at the Roxy, you know, used to be dangerous, man, you know, but it was like those old school bands. I mean, like, you know, they're the reason, you know, I kind of got back into, like, I knew the Adolescents. I would listen to Rodney on the Rock, and as soon as Do the Eddie came on, I'd fly out my back door, and I'd run across the alleyway, and I'd pound on their door, and I'd tell them, "Hey, you're on Rodney. And they'd go over and they'd turn it on. And by the time they turned it on, it was like the last, you know, couple of hits on the drums, you know, because their song was so short, you know.
Okay,
cool,
well, listen,
man.
let's play a track here for our fans. Police Recount.
Yeah, what about it? It's good, man. You are.
Fuck a cop, fuck a pig.
You made the fucking thing.
Fuck a cop.
grinning ghost. Life for your friends, it never ends.
All right.
Justin!
That's true.
That's a great
truth.
Song. High energy. I really enjoyed having you on the show, Jeff Soto of Soto Street.
Awesome.
Well, tell us
Thank
real
you.
Quick before we sign off, how did you come to the name for your band?
Well, that's crazy. I was trying to find a name, and it's really kind of weird. You don't want to sound generic. You don't want to sound like everybody else, you know. So it's like, I was driving. I always thought it was kind of cool, like driving through, like down the 101 back home, and going up there. You saw Soto Street, and the first thing I think of is Steve Soto from The Adolescents, and,
oh,
and I'm
okay.
like, okay, that's like my first band, you know. And then, I mean, the first, it's losing my mind right now, but one of the first cool punk rock clubs was on Soto Street. And I'm spacing right now, but
right.
that, and then of course, you know, the fact that, you know, it was like a tough area. The band was like, you know, really crazy, aggressive music, and, you know, and then growing up, there was I knew a really tough kid named Joey Soto. It was like everything around it was like, Soto was like kind of a tough thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, you know, I kind of showed it to the band guys, and they were cool with it. You know, we didn't really have, there wasn't anything else, and I actually liked it a lot. And then now it just looks cool on flyers, and you know, I'm cool with it.
All right, cool. So, for all you listening out there, get yourself down to a Soto Street band show and pick up one of their records today. And I want to thank you, Jeff, for being on the show, and I want to remind everyone to get out there, see some shows, help support the bands, and party or go home.
Fuck yeah.
Next week. Bye.